All right, now let me drop down and identify another character here. And this time, it's Michael the Archangel, and he wars with the dragon. Now, let me read verses 7 through 12 here, and I'm reading from my translation as usual. And there arose war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, the one called the devil, and the Satan, he that deceiveth the whole inhabited world, he was cast down to the earth, and his angels with him were cast down. Now, we have here a startling revelation. War in heaven. And the United Nations couldn't do anything about this war any more than they could any other war that's taken place since they came into existence. It's difficult to imagine that there's war in heaven. But Satan still has access to heaven. And as long as he does, there'll be this problem. We are told in the book of Job that Satan came with the sons of God before God. He had apparently a right there as much as they did. He'd been created the highest creation. And you'll recall that when we studied Zechariah in the 3rd chapter, in the first 7 verses, we have that. And I read verse 1 and 2 of Zechariah 3 again. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" We have him having access to God. He's able to carry on communication with God. Now, again, in Luke 22, verse 31, and I'd like to turn and read that. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, I don't think he sent a Western Union telegram to God. I don't think he telephoned him. He was able to come in the presence of God, and he requested that he might test this man, Simon Peter. He believed that he could get him. Well, he was granted that permission. Now, Michael here is the archangel, and I'd have you note that. We're told that in the book of Jude, verse 9. "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." I'm sure there must be other archangels, but if you go back to the book of Daniel, you'll find that Michael is mentioned there. And I want to turn back and see that he has a peculiar ministry with the nation Israel. First of all, if you'll notice the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, verse 13, I read this, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So apparently, there are other archangels, but he's the one that's introduced to us, and Gabriel, and they're the only ones I know about, by the way. Now, in verse 21 of this chapter, we are told here, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these but Michael, your prince." He's talking to Daniel, and that means Daniel's people, and they were the nation Israel. And Daniel makes that clear in the 12th chapter, verse 1 of Daniel. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." And at that time we're told it'll be a time of trouble. That's the great tribulation that we're talking about here. And Michael again steps out and drives Satan out of heaven. Why? Because of the fact he happens to be the prince that watches over the nation Israel. This is a tremendous thing, and it beggars description, by the way. Now I read here, there was a fierce struggle and a war. He's not going to retire easily. But Michael and his angels prevailed, and Satan and his angels were thrown out of heaven. And the Lord Jesus referred to this in the verse we gave the other day in Luke 10:18. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, there's no mistaking this creature who's called the great dragon, for he's marked out now with great detail. His fingerprints are put down here. And because God knew what a great percentage of the preachers of this century would teach that he does not exist, he makes it so you can't miss him. If your enemy can get you to think he does not exist, he'll have a tremendous advantage over you. And he'll be able to get a crack at you that'll sweep you off your feet. And therefore, Satan has moved in afresh and anew in this generation. Why? Well, simply because this generation didn't believe in him. Now we're getting an overdose of him, and it's been made a weird and wild thing. He's not an ugly creature by any means. He's an angel of light. Now notice how he's identified. Here he's called the old serpent. That takes us back to the Garden of Eden. Our Lord said he was a murderer from the beginning, and the words old and beginning are akin, according to Vincent. And he is that old serpent, the one that was at the beginning there in the Garden of Eden. Now he's called devil, and the devil is a name which comes from the Greek diabolos, meaning slanderer or accuser. He's so labeled in verse 10, the accuser of our brethren. Now that's the reason that believers today need an advocate with the Father. You and I have an enemy today, and not only causing us problems down here, but you'd be surprised what he says about you and me in heaven. And there's nothing that you do or say or think but what he doesn't return it in against you up yonder. But God already knows about it, and I like to beat him to the draw and confess it before he gets up there to bring the accusation. The Lord Jesus is our advocate. We're told in 1 John 2:1, and I read here, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. Be wonderful if I didn't sin, but I do. And if any man sin, thank God we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's up there to defend me. And he's been kept busy since I've been in this world defending me. And I have a notion he's been pretty busy with you too, my friend. Don't think he's up there sitting idly by. He's our defender, our advocate. Why? Because the devil is a slanderer. He's a liar from the beginning. And that's where the lies today begin. All the gossip that goes on in some of our churches today. Where does it originate? In the pit of hell, friends. And that's the last place that anything that's in the church, it ought not to be shipped in from down there. Now, will you notice he's also called Satan? That means adversary. He's the awful adversary of God and every one of God's children. God's children today in the church, he's our adversary. And we're told, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8. Now, I've read to you several letters recently, and I did it purposely, of people who have been delivered out of cults and isms through the study of the Word of God. And I've had any number of people that have told me personally of how they were trapped. In fact, I have a letter here, which I have not shared. A man, he apologizes. He said, I was in a cult, and I wrote you the letter I did, and it was a mean one. to try to trap you, try to trick you. And I thought I was right and you were wrong. And he said, when I began to study the Word of God, why, he said, I didn't realize how Satan had me trapped. He's got a lot of folks trapped today, even church members. We need to recognize that he is our enemy. But that doesn't mean let's go overboard just dwelling on Satan and demons today. There's too much of that. We need to recognize them and that there's a manifestation fresh and anew that was not a generation ago. But it's certainly true today. Let's keep our eye on Jesus Christ, please, friends, for that's your place of deliverance. He's up there to help you, you know. And he says, he that deceiveth the whole inhabited world. Satan, during the Great Tribulation, will be able to totally deceive man. But today, only partially. And Satan deceives man relative to God and of the Word of God. You remember, he had Eve to distrust God. Has God said, you shouldn't eat of that tree? You just can't trust him, can you? That was the thought. And then Satan deceives man relative to man. He makes him out better than he is, yet Satan despises us. And yet he builds us up. We could become gods. How wonderful it would be. And then Satan deceives man relative to the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, you and I think we're big enough to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're not big enough to overcome any one of them. The world is too big for us, and it will certainly draw you away from him. And Satan deceives the world relative to the gospel. He doesn't mind men going to church or even joining a dozen churches, but he doesn't want him to be saved. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, Satan is to be dreaded as a lion. He's more to be dreaded as a serpent. And he's most to be dreaded as an angel of light. That's where he traps multitudes today.